y'all. Welcome back to the second episode of Sick I Swear. I'm your host, Caitlin Rohde. And before we get into today's topic, oh my God, I just need to say thank you for all the love and support on the first episode. It has definitely been quite the learning journey, and getting my stories out there and being vulnerable is definitely not the easiest thing. I was reminded why it's so crucial and so important for people to start talking about this. So thank you for all the love on it. On today's episode, we're going to talk about self-advocacy and why it is so, so needed and so important. And there's a lot of different layers within self-advocacy. You know, there's a self-advocacy for yourself. There's a self-advocacy for the people and community around you. And then the very big one is the self-advocacy within the medical community. And within those different categories, if we will, there are different ways to advocate. And, you know, as you're starting your journey and going through that process, you're starting to learn with every single doctor appointment, with every single physical therapy, with every single medication check-in, with every single pharmacist check-in, like you are starting to kind of gain your knowledge on what is going on with your body throughout the way. There's so much value in doing your own research and getting your own knowledge about a diagnosis that you have. Truly, if you feel like something is wrong with you, if you feel like something is off, your body is in pain, something's not working right, you just feel like something is wrong, listen to that. Intuitively take that and listen to that. Don't gaslight yourself. Don't think that you're being a hypochondriac, and start getting to work on it, because chances are you're not crazy. Chances are it's not in your head. And really coming to terms and acceptance within yourself is going to be the major, major, major key within self-advocacy to build that confidence in order to tell your doctors, your practitioners, your physical therapist, your pharmacist, your friends, your family, everyone, what is wrong with you and what your needs are. When it comes to your personal life, your community, within self-advocacy, it's super important to, again, stick to your guns. Know that what is going on with you is not just something that you're making up. There's accommodations that you can use. There's so many accommodations within the book. And if accommodations are something that you could use and that could be helpful for you, don't be afraid to ask for them. Don't be afraid of what that looks like to other people. I mean, I have had many times where I've needed to use a wheelchair and I am like, you know what? It's just like a little loop around the mall. It's fine. I don't need that. When in reality, that wheelchair could have helped me lessen the flare that I got the next day from doing all that activity. And again, that just kind of comes within self-acceptance, believing that what you need is not something that is crazy or completely out of line. It is something that is very legit. I think one of the biggest thing within self-advocacy is understanding your needs first. And obviously, that's a learning process. If chronic illness is one thing, it is a journey. I think a big way that you can start to kind of document is to track your symptoms, track your doctor's appointments, keeping a log of your symptoms, keeping a log of how you felt doing different activities day to day. And that is a big way to show on paper how you're actually feeling. It is then factual. You can bring that to a doctor and be like, hey, look. So within those logs, those medical binders, get your medical history in one place. And one of the biggest things that helped me within my transition and my move and finding my new care team down here was having it laid out, everything that I've gone through prior. And granted, they were able to like access some of the documentations. Thank God for technology when it comes to that. But it's also nice to like come in prepared, knowing that like, you're not fucking around here. You're not just some monkey in a circus. Like, if you're just starting your journey, collecting them as you go is like one of my biggest tips for you, rather than being 3 years in and having to like go through every single doctor appointment and treatment and medication that you've taken to get that documentation. Take it from me. And then once you know your own needs, and like I said, you are going to learn your own needs throughout your journey. You are not going to know them at the very beginning. If I knew what I knew now, 5 years ago, I would be in a completely different place. But again, that comes with the healing and the growing within being chronically ill. And there's something beautiful in that. Okay, let's just call it poetry. So prepare, you know, doing some self-affirmations before you go in. Ground yourself. I know for me, going into hospitals and medical clinics and specialty centers can really shake up my soul sometimes. So saying those affirmations, grounding yourself and centering yourself, I promise you that will help in even like the littlest way. Also, like, don't be afraid to ask your doctors questions. It is okay to push back. It is okay to ask questions. It is okay to be resistant when it comes to your care and your medical needs. And if you are not getting an answer you are happy with, go somewhere else. Get a second opinion. Don't be afraid of that. Doctors, they go to medical school. I'm not trying to be a hater here. There are great ones out there. On the flip side, there are absolute shit ones. We have to remember that medical school is broad unless if you're in a specialty. And sometimes the doctors within those specialties still don't know what they're talking about or really what that diagnosis is. It is so important for that doctor to work with you, to want to learn, to drop their ego at the door for a second and be like, hey, I'm not that familiar with it, but I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to try some things out. It's the art of trial and error. You know, that's, if I could sum chronically ill up in one word, it would be trial and error. Emphasis on the air. Taking it back a little bit, back when I was a child into my early adulthood, I was way too concerned about what other people thought of me. Pathological people pleaser, didn't want to say what was on my mind. You know, everybody else was always right, I was always wrong type vibes. I'm just a Pisces girly, you know, and that sometimes does not work in my favor, especially being a people pleaser. But as I've gotten older, as I've gone through the chronically ill journey, I've learned how to break out of that. And I think that I just kind of want to share some of my stories. The major turning point for me was that bike accident. If I did not have that bike accident, I would not be who I am today. And granted, that came with a lot of bad things. There's also a lot of beautiful growing and healing things that have come from the hell that I'm put through every single day. It has taught me that self-advocacy is absolutely crucial to your well-being. You know, it's taught me that trust your intuition. That is a huge one. It's really built my confidence. And as much as it is a balance, it's a tight line where chronic illness can really suffocate your confidence. It also can boost it. But I think that that's something beautiful about the bike accident was I would be totally different. I would not be who I am today. I would be somebody who probably wouldn't be able to speak my mind like I did. Somebody that wouldn't really have any resistance or pushback or questioning. Somebody that would just always believe a professional because they're a professional. And that's just a positive outlook. And I encourage every single person who is really struggling or staring at their ceiling right now, wondering when all this is going to end, that it does get better. You just have to keep pushing yourself, keep pursuing to get better. Keep a positive mindset. I promise you, it goes lengths. This journey is literally the farthest thing from linear, and you're going to have those really defeating and frustrating times when you're in and out of those cycles and your trigger warning, wanting to end it all, sitting in that ER bed for the third time that week. Just keep going. Again, like I've always said, if someone is really struggling right now, please reach out to me. I want to be an ER. I want to give you any kind of encouragement or advice that I can, because I've been there and I know how devastating and defeating it is being in that place. You know, you start to build the medical jargon, you start to have a pharmacy in your kitchen, you start to know what medication works for what and what treatment's going to work for what and what scan means what. I didn't know half the things I knew now, but again, if you're starting your journey, continuing to just really pay attention to what they're prescribing you, what kind of treatment they're putting you in, what kind of scan they're giving you, what kind of injection they're giving you. Pay attention to all of that because you'll start to learn what works for you and what doesn't. And also, you are going to run across dismissive doctors. They're going to be there. That's just the truth. And having the power within you, having the confidence within you to know that, kind of trust your intuition when you know that a doctor is just kind of trying to shove you through some treatment that won't necessarily work. When it comes to like your personal day-to-day self-advocacy, setting a boundary to where not everyone needs to know that you're sick. I mean, yeah, there's like a fine line of like, well, I don't want to hide it anymore. I don't want to mask it. But also, you don't need to overshare and let everyone into the depths of your journey. You know, there's going to be so many times where you have to say no, and it's a lot of acceptance and a lot of grief. Like I've said a lot before, there's so much grief that you have to get through on this, and that's something that will come with time. It's also kind of nice to have those like lines in your head when somebody comes at you saying literally you look fine, just kind of saying, I know I look fine, but I really don't feel that way. Or there's really awkward times where, you know, somebody asks what you do and I have to be like, I receive disability, and how I've come a long way with acceptance in that and the realization of how much it does help me. It still was a very awkward and hard thing to admit, because how I didn't necessarily feel ashamed of it, I felt like other people have such the stigma on it of like, oh, she's getting government help, like, yikes. And I think releasing that stigma is something that needs to happen. And I'll be here trying to do it one episode at a time, I guess. There's been so many times where I've had to self-advocate for myself within the medical community. One of the situations I will share, which is pretty heartbreaking to say the least, I was in the depths of my trenches a couple years ago, and I can't remember exactly who referred me to see an occupational medicine doctor, not an occupational therapist, a doctor that can help you with figuring out what kind of job you would fit into, figure out accommodations, things like that. So I was referred there. I kind of went through my journey, my history a little bit, and we kind of came to the conclusion that I was unable to hold a consistent job, something that would be able to sustain me in the competitive market of employment. And he wrote up his report about how he thought that I would not be able to go out and hustle every day with the full-time job of being chronically ill. He then recommended I go see a physical therapist evaluator who could kind of evaluate my physical abilities at that point, as well as a mental assessment. And so there were two different tests. The physical test was two separate days for 4 hours each. And if you know, you already know that that is way too much testing. I'll set the scene. I went to my first physical assessment. It was back in 2022, I believe, or 23. I don't know. It all kind of runs together at a certain point. But it was over a year ago I did this assessment. And the first day was kind of talking things out. He did a physical assessment on me, got like, in my words, my limitations and what I was having a hard time with. And then we went into like a pacing test around the clinic, which I damn near wanted to puke at the end of that. It was like 15 minutes of me just walking in a circle, and one, dizzy, two, my body was like cranked up in pain at that point. My joints were screaming and I had to walk as fast as I go. And he's literally pushing you like a coach, like, let's fucking go. Like we're in the Olympics or something like that. And then we move into like a lifting test, like a functional, like touching test, kneeling, things like that. And that was 4 hours of hell, to say the least. And I was out for the count the rest of the day. I went home and I literally slept until I had to be back at that office at 8 a.m. the next day. And on the way to that appointment, I literally was puking. Like, that's how much the physical test took out of me. And that's how much showed I cannot do what a normal person can do on a day to day. And I went in that second day. I told him literally I was yakking the whole way here. I'm going to give it my best. And I had to do the test that we did the previous day again. And I think the science behind that was to see like how much I could sustain or how much I decreased in my ability. Decreased was the word for that one on my end. And I did the test fine. I was able to do them, obviously a lot slower. But I went home from that test and I was really exhausted for like the next week. I had bad symptoms, you know, and I was expecting this. I knew that this was going to take a toll on me. I literally wasn't expecting anything less. It turned out exactly how I thought it was going to. And that report came back fine. He said that I gave it my all, my best shot. He rated me pretty low in score on a lot of things, which again, I expected. And honestly is what was good. I needed that on paper to show literally I can't do these things. And then we go into the mental test. So I go into a psychiatrist who does this 4-hour mental test. Like I can't even remember all of the tests that we did because it's like a trauma block. Going into that, knew I was going to have the worst migraine after. I was going to be spinning. I was going to have like a lot of like just nervous system reactions because of the intensity of what that test was going to be. So I started off the test talking to him, gave him a little bit of my history. I now feel like my post-concussion syndrome has decreased quite a bit. Back a year ago, my processing was much slower than it already is now. My ability to retain was much less than it was now. I couldn't really speak the right words like I could, but then I couldn't. It was like my mind was jumbled. And not to say that it's not now. There's still a lot of things going on up there. The brain fog was not working in my favor that day. And so then I go into this room with another girl who was doing the assessments, and I felt so dumb. I had such a hard time with these tests. I literally was not faking anything. I was not exaggerating anything. I went in with wanting to give them what I got. And how I was able to do some tests were just like, probably, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Like fifth grader could have got it type thing. But that was like a really hard test for me. And it was supposed to take 4 hours. I was in there for about 5, just to kind of give you a sense of how slow I was. And it took a little bit for that report to get back. And I was supposed to report back to my occupational medicine doctor when those tests were in. And, you know, a couple months. Like I was supposed to go in earlier than what I did, but for whatever reason, it was like a long time between the tests and my occupational medicine doctor appointment. And I go in and he's like, so how you been? How are you doing? I thought we were having an appointment about these results. And I guess there was miscommunication somewhere along the way. And I go in, I'm like, well, I want to know how my tests went. I want to know my results. Like, I haven't seen anything on that. And he goes, oh. There's just like this big pause. And at that point, my intuition, like my gut dropped. I was like, okay, there is something not right about this. And he goes, okay, let me go get the reports. And he was out of the room for probably 15-ish minutes. My mom was in the room with me, and you know, I got really anxious during the time he was out, and he came back in with the reports, and he walks in, he goes, so you haven't seen these? I go, no, like literally I have not. Like, this is why I'm here, to see these reports. And he goes, well, what I'm about to read you, you're not gonna like. I just want to let you know that I do not agree with these testing results. I have a completely different opinion. This is one doctor's opinion, but let me read you the results. And the paper basically said that I was faking my disability. And I like to try to think that I am really tough and I don't really cry in doctor's offices, but this appointment, I immediately broke down. I could not stop crying. I felt like I was so diminished as a human. I felt so invalidated. I felt so betrayed. I felt so traumatized by a medical professional. And he kind of gave me a minute. He said, I'm so sorry. I just kind of looked at my mom like in complete and utter defeat. The fact that this medical report is in my chart, any doctor can go and look at this and basically think that I am just faking everything because of one doctor's opinion is quite terrifying. And that moment, I really had to know the importance of self-advocacy and not taking that answer as the right answer. I think 10, 15 years ago, I would have been like, oh my God, you're right. It is in my head. Oh my God, this one person's opinion is the end all be all. And I fought back at that point and I kind of brought my power back and I said, you know what? No, this isn't right. I am going to do what I can to prove that I am sick. And I am so sickened that a professional who is there to help you can come back with a report like that when the tone was totally different when I was talking with him. So with that being said, there is a lot of trauma that chronically ill people endure within the medical community from the gaslighting. And that will be a whole nother topic. That will be a whole nother situation. But that was a big learning point for me. And that was only a year ago. So that goes to show that every single doctor's appointment, every single period of time where you're going through your journey, you're going to learn more self-advocacy and your best tools and ways to do it. It's just so important to never lose it. And that just goes to show the confidence that this illness has also brought me. Self-advocacy is not only empowering, but it is absolutely essential in your journey to survive and to thrive throughout this, because like we know, this is for the rest of your life. This is not just a period of time. There was another experience that I had where I was seeing a psychologist for my ADHD, OCD, and PTSD, depression, anxiety too. And for whatever reason, she thought that she wanted to be like my pain management doctor too. And there was a particular day where I was coming in, she was asking like how all my pain symptoms were. And I was in a pretty big flare. I was not feeling well. I was going through my POTS diagnoses. My headaches were cranked. Everything was just bad. We were having a bad time in life. And she took it upon herself to be a pain management doctor and say that fibromyalgia and all these issues that I'm having is just because of trauma and it's in my head. And how I'm not going to deny some of that, there's a lot of research done that fibromyalgia and pain syndromes do come along with different multitudes of trauma. It's not wrong. It is in my head. My brain is firing off pain signals for no reason, but it's happening. It's not just something that I'm making up or that isn't happening. Like my brain is literally shooting those shits out. And she started giving me these medications and she said, you know, like, I think this could be helpful. I think I've never prescribed it before and I don't really know, but we should try this. It could be helpful. And honestly, that's like the biggest red flag. Like if some doctor seems to be literally Googling it behind their computer as they're prescribing it, run. And that was a big point in advocacy where I was like, you know, no, I'm not going to try this new medication. I'm not just going to shove another pill down my throat because I'm having a flare. I am going to try to manage in other ways. And I came here for my mental health check-in, not for my pain check-in. Like it gave me the biggest ick ever. And I, needless to say, will not be going back to that psychiatrist. And it is okay to find a different one. If you are not happy with what they say, what their care plan is, what their treatment plan is, find a new one. I would love to hear your own experiences within self-advocacy and where that's gotten you and how you've had to overcome some of the really, really, really big hurdles of, if you're like me, not only being a big empath and people pleaser, but the hurdles of being misunderstood, because I just think that that emphasizes and shares more of shared experiences within the medical community and how I've only shared two experiences. Every single experience walking into that hospital door, you have to put the hat on of self-advocacy. I'm here if you need any help on how to go about a situation. I am no professional when it comes to being a medical doctor. However, I am a professionally ill person and I have been through the system in many different ways. And I'm sure a lot of you have as well. But if you're someone that is just starting their journey, I would love to help you give you advice, maybe help direct you in a certain way. I want to be here to help you, especially when it comes to self-advocacy, because I know that that is the most important thing. I am absolutely freaking out that you guys have listened to another episode. My DMs are always open, Sick I Swear Pod on TikTok and Instagram, YouTube, as well as my website. If you want to go drop a little message in there and we can chat, I'm here for you guys. I just want to be somebody who can do a little part in making some kind of change and helping somebody's life. Thanks for listening to another episode of Sick I Swear. Bye, all my sick bitches and supporters.